This Sunday morning church service, May 31st, 2020, and we have a number of people that are here with us this morning. It's great to see everybody here and being a part of our services. We understand not everybody's here because some are still watching via live stream, and we're welcoming you to the services also. Excited about how God's working in our midst, and we're just excited about how God's just making everything work out according to His plan. We're thankful for His providence. We're thankful for His sovereignty also. Couple things to consider and remember. The world's going crazy nowadays, it seems like, but we're thankful for a God that's in control, and we're thankful for an opportunity to be able to worship Him and serve Him during these times. So we're going to go ahead and have a word of prayer and open up in a word of prayer and ask God's blessing on our service today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful for today, thankful for the opportunity to be here, and Lord, to be able to be in your church house for many of us. Lord, we pray that today's service would be an encouragement and a help and a blessing to all that are here. And God, that you work in each of our hearts. Lord, whether they're watching through live stream or watching a pre-recorded message, or whether they're here inside the building, Lord, we're just thankful that we know you and that we can depend and trust on you. Lord, we think of those that today that might not know Christ, that maybe be here or watching or listening. Lord, we pray that they see their need for a Savior. Lord, the world seems like it's going crazy. Lord, even in America, especially with the last things that are happening in the last week, Lord, there's a lot of chaos. Lord, we're thankful for a God that's in control. I'm thankful that a God that we can keep our eyes focused on. I'm thankful for a God that we can trust and know that this is not the end. Lord, that heaven is our home. And Lord, that we can be looking forward to that reward someday. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to begin our service with our theme song. So if it will be on the screen behind us, or you can look in the front cover of your hymn book, and we're going to ask Brother Jim to come lead us in our theme song.
If you feel comfortable, stand with me to sing. I've met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power? Towards the back, or if you want to read from the screen, that's fine. 357, blessed be the name of the Lord. Sing all the verses.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing, blessed be the name of the Lord, the glories of my God and King. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of
Amen, amen. Just a couple quick announcements. Birthdays of the week. It's Todd Ackley's birthday today, Tanya Seidenberg's birthday on the 5th, and Al Humbert's birthday on the 6th. So happy birthday to all of those. As we mentioned earlier, we're going to continue to reopen our church services for Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. So church night is at 6 p.m. and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. There still is not going to be any type of choir practices for a little while longer, and no children's classes today, but next week we're going to start having Sunday school class, and all our adults and teens are going to be meeting out here for at least 1 week, and our children, excluding those that are in nursery, are all going to be meeting in a new fellowship hall. It gives us plenty of space, and we believe we can have some kids' classes and activities back there for them. That starts next Sunday. So next Sunday, Sunday school starts at 9:45. Obviously, there's not going to be any food or any coffee, so come and drink and eat before you come. And the children's classes will be meeting in a new fellowship hall. In preparation for that, we're having a teacher's meeting tonight. Now, this is only for the children's Sunday school teachers and also junior church teachers. Also, if you'd like to be involved and get involved in the maybe those classes during the month of June, and that's what our plan is, for them all to meet back in the new fellowship hall during the month of June. We've got some different things we're going to be doing, so if you have an interest in being a part of that or helping back there, you can also come to the meeting tonight as we begin to describe what exactly we're going to be doing during those Sunday school / junior church hours. Once again, we're thankful for everyone that's here, and we pray you get a blessing from the service. I know some of you right now might be a little cold. Sorry if somehow the air conditioner got pushed all the down a little bit farther than normal. I didn't do it this time. Sometimes I think it because I think it feels great in here. That means that probably many of you are freezing cold, and we didn't bump it up some, and hopefully it will kind of regulate here in a little while. But we pray that you enjoy the services. And once again, we're going to keep on doing this as we pray, prayerfully consider all the things that are happening. And these are all tentative schedules. Right now, on the 14th, there's going to be a young man, call him young man, he's a little bit younger than I am, that's coming to candidate for our assistant pastor job. So he'll be preaching for us on the 14th, and we're going to have some type of teen class for him to be teaching in a Sunday school class. And so you'd be praying about that, as long as, once again, all the different activities and things that we're having is all tentative based off what's going on with the virus and the pandemic and things like that. And also with all the things that are happening in the world today, you know, we're thankful we can come to church. I'm thankful that we can hopefully make this a mainstay in our life, that no matter everything else might seem like it's crazy, that this can be a place of safety, also a place where we can come and worship the Lord together. But thanks again. Brother Jim's going to come lead us in another congregational song.
All right, we're going to sing Throw Out the Lifeline, number 138. If you feel comfortable, stand with me. 138, sing verses 1, 3, and 4. Throw out the lifeline.
Throw out the lifeline across the dark way. There is a brother whom someone should save. Somebody's brother, oh, who then will dare to throw out the lifeline, his peril to share. Throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline, someone is drifting away. Throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline, someone is sinking today. Verse 3. Throw out the lifeline to danger-fraught man, sinking in anguish where you've never been. Winds of temptation and billows of woe will soon hurl them out where the dark waters flow. Throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline, someone is drifting away. Season of rescue be o'er. Soon will they drift to eternity's shore. Haste then, my brother, no time for delay, but throw out the lifeline and save them today. Throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline, someone is drifting away.
For I saw he bled for me. Lo, the sky was veiled in darkness. Sudden trembling shook the ground as the angry crowd was jeering, mocking Jesus all around. It is finished, loud he cried. Oh, what love for me he died. In my stead he bled on Calvary. Once for all, Christ rescued me. Then my Savior called to heaven as I saw his love anew. Oh, my Father, please forgive them, for they know not what they do. free salvation now he offers. Take his gift, oh, hear his plea. On the bloody cross behold him, join his shout of victory. It is finished, loud he cried, oh, what love for me he died. In my stead he bled on Calvary, once for all Christ rescued me.
And let's go ahead and take our Bibles to the book of Hebrews this morning. Hebrews chapter number 12 is where we're going to start. We're going to spend most of our time in Hebrews chapter 12 and chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 12. This morning we're going to be talking about considering the race that is set before us. Considering the race that's set before us. With our theme this year being consider, it means that we're going to take a good long look at it and we're going to think about it. And that's what I'd like to think about this morning is this idea of the race that's set before us. I guess when you don't think anything could get stranger or the world could get any stranger, you know, different things happen and it seems like it gets stranger and stranger by the minute, or it seems like the problems continue to increase and increase and increase, and you just wonder, what in the world am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to react? We know with what's happening this right now in our country with the different rioting and the different looting and the different destruction that's happening across the country. And you just sit back and you're amazed, and it's like things are being unfolded right in front of you, and you're thinking, wow, what in the world am I supposed to do? And the amazing thing is, in the scriptures that we're going to look at today, it's talking about running the race that's before us. And that phrase is found at the end of chapter 12, verse number 1. It says, the race that is set before us. And I was going to try to make this all into one message, but instead we're going to look at considering some of the races that were run before us, and also considering the perfect runner, talking about Jesus Christ. And tonight we're going to look about how to run our race. But one of the things I want you to understand and see in the scriptures this morning is, you know, we are living in a time that none of us have ever faced before. We're facing challenges that probably none of us have ever faced. But at the same time, there was craziness in the world before us, and there's going to be craziness after we're gone too. And I want to look a little bit and just spend a little bit of time thinking about what it was like for some of the Bible characters in Hebrews chapter number 11. And in Hebrews chapter number 11, you're going to look at some different Bible characters. We're just going to do a quick overview of some of them and see how the day and time they lived in must have also been craziness too. And what in the world were they going to do? How in the world were they going to live? How in the world were they going to react? And in chapter number 11, the description's found is by faith. And that's what I want to encourage us to do, is to see the race that's put before us. God knows what he's doing. He's sovereign. He's all-powerful. He's almighty. And with all those things in mind, we know that we're here for this day and this time, for such a time as this, for a reason. And just like it was probably odd for Abraham, or maybe for Enoch or Noah, even challenging for Moses, they were, for that moment in time in history, for that day, they had a job to do. And they were supposed to do it by faith. So even though this might seem a little bit odd time, even though it might seem like it's a strange world that we live in, this is the race. This is where God's put us at. The course seems different than we thought it was going to be, but we're still supposed to run the race. Nowhere does it say in the scriptures that just because the world has gone crazy or the world's gone mad, our race has changed. Now, the outlook might look a little different, but there's still things that we're supposed to follow in the scriptures. There's still things that we're supposed to be doing. We're still somehow supposed to be reaching out to the world. And that's one of the things that I think about, that the devil is probably sitting back and laughing about all these different things. Outreach, even though I know we're doing more through the airwaves, which is effective in some ways, but outreach for many people has come at a standstill. Many times people don't want to touch something that you're giving them, whether it's a track. Many times there's the opportunity to converse with someone standing, That doesn't happen. Now, I would take advantage of every opportunity you have to do those things, because God ordains those things. God sends us different people for different reasons and different purposes. And I believe God can work and God gets glory during these times. But I do want you to consider that, you know, the many of the outreaches that sometimes people do, they're just not happening today. And so what are we supposed to do? I'm going to encourage you today to run the race. Keep on running. Let's look here what it says in Hebrews chapter number 12. We'll start in verse number 1. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." Now, what's the scriptures talking about there? I think he's referring to, as we close up chapter number 11, the greater cloud of witnesses is referring to all those Old Testament saints. I know some of you are thinking he's going to talk about how they're watching us from heaven, and we're not even going to get into that. Some people believe that everybody's there and they're watching us. Some people believe it's referring to all the saints, and we're not going to get into the description there, but I think what he's talking about here is the witnesses. Yes, they may be watching us, but at the same time, I think they're more focused on Jesus. But these witnesses that are here, they give us a testimony. What is the testimony of? The testimony is that what they lived through was craziness for them too. What they lived through was not something that they would have picked. That their course, although it looks different than ours, is something that was a challenge for them and something that they had to be inspired to live by faith. We have a course that God's mapped out for our lives. He's interested in us living this by faith. You keep on going. It says, now how we're supposed to run. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, we don't have to run Moses' race. We don't have to run Noah's race. We don't have to run Abraham's race or Sarah's race. We don't have to run the race of those that are found in chapter number 11. But God is saying that we should be running the race that's set before us. Now, there's many people today that have sat down and they've dropped out of the race. They have gone and become spectators. And I think that's what this is written to. It's written to a group of Hebrews that during this time and period would have been a very difficult, a terrible time of trouble, a terrible time of persecution, a hard time. And he's encouraging them and says, now, remember the Old Testament. Remember all those great characters, all the things that they faced. Now you have your race is set before you. Just like they ran it by faith, also make sure that you're running this race by faith. Don't run it by sight. Don't run it by emotions. Run it by faith. And he continues in verse number 2. He says, looking unto Jesus. Now you go to chapter number 11, you see all those different characters, and pretty much for every single one, you can say, well, that person did this wrong, and that person did this wrong, and that person did this wrong. Yes, they all failed. But that's why he says the focus should be found in Jesus. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author, the one who's created our faith, and the finisher of our faith, the one who finished the work on the cross. And it says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And you see the perfect runner there, the one who was willing to do everything that was needed to be done and has now received his reward at the right hand of the throne of God. And he says in verse number 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things. If we don't keep our focus on Jesus, we're going to become very wearied. This time that we live in, if we don't focus on the author and finisher of our faith, we're going to become faint in our minds. If we allow the circumstances of this world to overwhelm us and to continue to pile on us and pile on us and pile on us, you know what's going to happen? It's going to come to the point where we become wearied and faint in mind. I don't know about you, but I've been there. Have you been there? I mean, even recently, maybe you've been there, you've been discouraged, maybe overwhelmed, and the scriptures are saying to a group of believers and saying to a group of other men and women that were Christians, he says, now consider those that ran this race before and consider the greatest runner. But the thing we should focus in on is, what is your race supposed to look like? So today, I don't live in your house. I don't follow the same things that you have to deal with, and I don't carry the same burdens that you carry, but there is a race that needs to be run and a race that needs to be won. I think about one of the craziest journeys of any Christian. I think about the Apostle Paul. Now, Apostle Paul is an awesome, awesome thought and an awesome story. You know how the Lord sent him so many different ways and so many different paths and was able to do so much for the Lord. But one of the great verses that he wrote in Acts chapter, it was written that Paul had said in Acts chapter 20, verse 24 says this, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course." And he's referring to the race, the course that God had set up for him, that I might finish my course. Now, how does he want to finish it? He said, "I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." So he's saying here, he says, none of these things move me. And there's a long list of different obstacles he was facing. But he says, none of these things move me, neither do I count my life dear unto myself. He said, that I may finish my course, saying the race that God has laid out for me, the course, the different places he has sent me, that I might finish my course, and not just finish my course, that I may do it with joy. And then he says, and the ministry. He recognized something that was important. He says, the ministry. This is a ministry that God's given me. Now, your race may be different than mine, but they're all ministry opportunities that God gives us. And it is to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So I want to ask you today, are you running this race? Are you staying focused, or are you on track? Now, I don't know about you, but there's one thing in life that I hate doing. I hate running. There's a lot of things I hate doing, but running is one of those things. Now that I many years ago, I tore my ACL and I got it repaired, but it's never been the same. And I really can't run that well or run that fast for a long period of time. And maybe it's because I'm out of shape, but more than likely it's because the arthritis that's built up in my knee that he says, "Oh, you're not going to run anymore. You're not going to be jumping anymore. You're going to hurt yourself." And all those different things. But running is something that is always been something I hated doing. Even when I played soccer, we had to run for miles. I despised all that. Running sprints. But there's different types of races. And you think about it, there's the reminder of the 100-yard dash. And then there's the people that run the mile, or the people that run a relay race, and people that run, I don't know why they would do it, people that run a marathon. That's just craziness. If you listen to our young adult / teen Bible study, the Philip Rabin was a speaker this past week, and he talked about running and talking about the challenges that were there. And he's a guy that runs marathons sometimes. More power to him. But this idea that God gives us here in the scriptures, there's a lot of different metaphors in the Bible. But this one of running and being in a race is something that's repeated over and over. And I want to encourage you today is, yes, your race is changing right before your eyes. The course that you're running. Things have changed to where you didn't get to come to church the last couple months like you wanted to. And maybe there's people who are sick, or maybe there's people that are challenging you, and maybe there's people that are reacting in different ways, and maybe there's people that are rising up against you, and maybe it seems like all these different obstacles are happening. The course may change, but you're still supposed to run the race. And I want to encourage you today with this thought. You know what? No one's ever said the Christian life was going to be easy. Well, let me say this differently. There are people who tell you the Christian life's easy. The Bible's never told you the Christian life's going to be easy. The scriptures have never said, hey, it's going to be simple. The Bible did say that you can live by faith and you can have peace, but there's always going to be challenges. Think about what it says in John chapter 16, verse 33. "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And here's the scripture, what it's saying is, look, when you live in this world, there's going to be tribulations, there's going to be hard times, there's going to be challenges. But it doesn't mean that you're supposed to stop. It doesn't mean that you're supposed to sit on the sideline. And in a day where there are many that are dropping out of the race and just becoming spectators, I want to try to encourage you, keep on running. Keep on the race. And I like how it says, the race that's set before us. Because all our races are different. We're still running for the same prize. We're still running for the Lord, still serving the Lord and all those different things. But I don't need to get mixed up with your race. I need to stay focused on my race. You ever heard that phrase, stay in your lane? Hopefully it's not a bad phrase. I've heard people say it before. It's the idea, focus on where you're headed and what you're doing. Now, obviously, there are times when we're going to teach others. Obviously, there's times we're going to be a help and a blessing to others. That's part of our race. But when we start worrying about somebody else's race and not worry about our own race, you know what's going to happen? We're going to stop running our race and stop heading towards the goal that God wants us to head to. So here's a couple things I want you to think about. First thing I want you to think about is consider the race ran before us. Consider the races that are ran before us. Now, you go here in Hebrews chapter number 11, and you're going to see a what sometimes people call a hall of faith. And you're going to see story after story. And we don't have time to go through the whole thing, but I want to look at a couple of them. And I want you to just kind of think in your mind, man, it was crazy for them back there. Let's go to Hebrews chapter number 11. Let's start with verse number 6. It says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So if you're looking to take notes today, there's 2 points. There's number one, consider the races ran before us. Now, we're not considering the people because the people fail. We are seeing that the race that God put before them and how they were able to accomplish this race because they lived by faith. These are humans that God used. And God's not a respecter of persons. God cannot be bought off. I was reading this past week in Deuteronomy. It talked about how God can't be bribed. He's not a respecter of persons. And I thought that was really a great thought. You know what? There are certain things I can do to get into the favor of God and God's blessings in my life. But there is no one that has enough money to say, "Hey, God, can you overlook this sin?" It's never going to happen. And with this race that he has put us on, there's no one's going to be able to say, "Hey, God, I don't really like this race. Can you change maybe my body or change my family?" No, we are all on the race that he has set before us, and we all have one purpose in mind. It's to run the race and to do it the right way. First thing is, consider some of the races that were ran before us. These are witnesses. These witnesses, they testify to us a life of faith and a life that is by God's grace. But also, it teaches us the importance that God is going to help you through it. I don't know what you're thinking today. I don't know what you see all the things that are happening on TV and you're wondering what's going to happen in America. It seems like it's the foundations are being pulled out from underneath us and there's so much anger, so much hatred, and so much people on one side and people on another and all those other things. What in the world's going to happen? I want to tell you, keep on running the race. God's going to see you through. God's always been faithful. God's never failed anybody. He's not going to fail you. Think about it first in verse number 7. When you read the words, "by faith, Noah." Now, when you think about Noah, I want you to go back and think about what it must have been like for him. See what it says here. "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith." So in the story here, you think that things are bad today. Could you imagine how things were so bad for Noah to try to live a life of righteousness, to live a life that showed the grace of God or perked the interest of God, and God saw him. You think about it, Noah in that day and in that moment, living in a world that's filled with violence and filled with hatred, that was so wicked that God destroyed it with a flood, and you say, "I've never seen anything like what's going on today." Could you imagine what it was like for Noah in that day? And then God said, "Hey, I want you to do something that is unusual. I want you to do something that's different. I want you to do something that you've never done or seen before." And that's what it says here in verse number 7. It says, he says, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. He's talking about how it had not rained and he had not seen a flood yet. And he's saying, being warned of God of things. He said, "Pastor, but we're living in days of uncertainty. I don't know what to do. I feel like I'm being led to do something I don't feel normal, or I feel uncomfortable with. There are things I have not seen yet." Imagine God saying that rain's going to fall from the sky. He's going to flood the whole earth. Imagine what it was like for Noah. Imagine that race that he was set upon and the fact that he, by faith, did what God told him to do. Church, I'm trying to just encourage you today. Don't get overwhelmed with everybody else's race. Don't get overwhelmed with the things that are going on in this world. Just run this race and realize that God's going to see you through. That's exactly what he did for Noah, and that's exactly what he can do for you. You think about it, Noah was being moved with fear. He listened to God. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house. He not only did he save himself, but also his family. I tell you, if you stay focused and run your race, your family is going to see also. So we think about Noah. We're going to keep on going because there's a lot of different characters and things I want you to think about. Just go to verse number 8. We're introduced to a man named Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, he went out not knowing whither he went. You think about it. He said, "Abram, yes, Lord, I want you to go here. So where do you want me to go? I'll tell you later." He is stepping out by faith. In church, I know some of the things right now are uneasy. And I'm telling you, just keep on running the race. Keep on doing what's right. Keep on living for God. Keep on obeying him. And it says that he was willing to do it. It says, not knowing whither he went. He understood something. He says, I don't know where this is headed. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to keep on running the race. Wherever God sends to turn at, wherever God shows me to go, whether it's up a hill or in a valley, this is what I'm going to do, wherever God sends me. And you look what it says in verse number 9. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Look what it says in verse number 10. For he looked for a city which have foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He wasn't focused now. He's saying, I'm looking for that city. And I am here to tell you today that this race is not going to end here on earth. Yes, someday we're going to be up and we're going to run and we're going to be up and taken up to heaven. And I understand that. But that's where it's going to end. That's why we need to look at Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. If Abraham was stuck on things, if Abram was stuck on this world and considering this world, you know what would have happened? He would have went back to his old life. Let's keep on. Go down to verse number 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, and have seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And as we're running this race, we got to remember, this is not my home. This world's not my home. I'm going to embrace the promises of God. God's promised me a home in heaven. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house is many mansions. The disciples are getting ready to face something that was seemed like such a great obstacle. They did not know how they were going to overcome it. Their race was getting ready to take a sharp right-hand turn, and it was going to start going uphill and continue to go uphill. And God says, don't let your heart be troubled about it. Keep your eye focused on the prize. Keep your eye focused on that someday you're going to be in heaven, that in this world you are just a stranger and a pilgrim on this earth. And in this journey that you're having, it's don't get so attached to it. Don't get so overwhelmed that it becomes an obstacle. Instead, continue on running that race, but don't run it like you own something. Run it like you're headed to where you're trying to get to. Don't feel like this world pulls you back so much because we love it so much. Instead, realize what Abram did, that there is a promise. As it says, they saw it afar off. They received the promises, but haven't seen them afar off. We know heaven's coming. We know the promises of God. Yes, there are some that's earthly, but we're running toward that race. We want to finish it. We want to please the Lord. Let's embrace him, it says. They were persuaded by them, which meant that they chose to live for God. They embraced the promises, and then it continues on, and they confess, you know, the things of this world, some of them are nice, but I'm just a stranger here. I don't feel comfortable in this world. That's on purpose. We're strangers to this world. I don't feel comfortable to the things that are happening around us. You know what? The Bible said, in this world, you're going to have persecution. Let's keep on going. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. They're saying that this is not my world. This is not my end. And then continues on, verse number 15. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country that from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. And if we consider the world and we stay in the world, you know what's going to happen? Instead of running our race, we're going to go be happy and satisfied in a world that we're supposed to be a stranger and pilgrim in. And we're not going to run the race that we're supposed to run because of the fact that we're focused on the things that we're supposed to be leaving behind. In verse 16, it says, but now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And so you see here in the scriptures, it's saying here that they're desiring a better country, that a city that God is preparing for them. And then you go to verse number 17, you see Abraham's course here. Abraham's running this race, and as he runs this race, God challenges him about offering up his son. Could you imagine what that would have been like? And I know we're facing hardship and we're facing hard times, but imagine that part of your race. Go down to verse number 22.
We see another Bible character, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. You think about the story of Joseph, how Joseph was, his race was so odd and so different, hated by his brothers, thrown into a pit, sold into slavery, cast into prison, and then becoming second in charge of Egypt. If he would have gotten off that race, if he would have stopped running, if he would have took his eyes off of what God was trying to do, I imagine that would have never happened. But look at his course. So strange and so different, so new to him, but he stays faithful, keeps his eyes on the author and finisher of the faith. Consider what it says in verse number 23, by faith Moses. Man, what a story there. Hidden in the river, grew up in Pharaoh's house, out on the wilderness for 40 years, with the children of Israel. All those, man, what a story. Consider the story that's being written here. Consider the race he was asked to run. And how does it say in verse number 22? It's by faith. Verse 23, by faith Moses. It talks about his parents there. It's verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. And you continue on over and over in the scriptures. It says, these men and these women had a race that was unlike anyone else's, and they did it by faith. I want to encourage you today. You know what? In the day and time we live in, we're sitting here, and we had to sit every other row, and we sit feet apart, and it seems so odd, and it seems so different. Don't focus so much on the course. Just keep on running the race. Don't get so taken by the things of this world and all the things that are happening that you forget to run the race. Yes, in our race, we are supposed to deal with the things of the world. In our race, there are people we're supposed to win for Christ. In our race, we're supposed to do what it says in verse number 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, that the things that we have to do for Christ is so much more valuable than any riches that this world has to offer. Verse number 31, we see by faith the harlot Rahab. You think about her race. Perish not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies in peace. And you continue on these verses. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon. You think about Gideon's race, how it was different. And Barak, and of Samson, and of Japheth, and of David also, and of Samuel, and of the prophets. You know, person after person after person, by faith, by faith, by faith, they ran a race that was different than everybody else's. But God has been faithful time and time again. Look what it says in verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and of imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having attained a good report through faith, received not the promise. I don't know about you. I read those verses and I see those stories and I see the race that they won. They attained the good report, it says, through faith. Now look what it says in verse 40. God having provided some better thing for us. A better thing. There is something better planned for us. Look at that. That they without us should not be made perfect. And someday, when the bride of Christ is complete, we're all up in heaven. It's something that's better for us. And I read those stories. And the crazy thing in all this is, you can begin to talk about when verse number 35 or verse number 36, some people will say, well, that's describing the New Testament Christians. And I understand that. Possibly that's what it's talking about. Being sawn asunder, talking about what happened to one of the disciples, and then you continue being stoned, all those different things. But up to those verses before that, you know what hadn't happened yet? Jesus hadn't even came yet. You think about their race that they were running it by faith without even the Messiah being there and dying and rising again. We have even more reason to run our race. We saw what happened. We understood what happened. He died, he was buried, and he rose again. Praise the Lord. We know he won. He is something and someone we can live for. So as you consider the races run before us, consider some of those things. Consider some of those people and the challenges that they had to face and how they, by faith, obtained, like I said at the end of verse 39, a good report through faith. I wonder what our report would be written about us during this time. During this moment in time, during this time of the virus, during this time of rioting, what is the good report that's going to be said by us? I posted more things on Facebook or Twitter. I mean, what's going to be said about us? Is it something that I gained weight or I got in shape? What is the good report that the race that we're on right now? What is it that's going to be? What are we doing by faith today? Pastor, I'm here, and I think that's the right step. For those that feel comfortable, I don't want to make anybody feel guilty. If you feel like the Lord wants you to stay home, that's fine. That's great. Keep on live streaming the services. Do that by faith. Sometimes I think it takes a little bit more faith to watch that and get something out of it because it's a challenge to sit there and watch it. But I think God can work. I know God can work because I've seen him work in so many different situations and so many different circumstances. And these are testimonies, yes, of the men's faithfulness, but more importantly, of what God can do with men that are faithful. By faith, by faith, by faith. Now, let's look at the perfect run for a second. Look what it says in verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So you consider those that went before us, but now consider the perfect runner. Look at his race. And if you consider for just a few moments what he did, the things he was despised by men. He despised the shame. Consider the cross he faced. And we don't need to go over all the different things because we could become teary-eyed if we consider that he was born in a manger. He left the glories of heaven, but he came to a world that rejected him, that denied him, that cast false accusations at him. And it says in verse number 3, it says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. He went through all those different things, but he finished his race. He was born to an unwed mother. He was born in a stable, born to poor parents. His life was threatened as a baby. His birth was the cause of terrible suffering. He was moved as a baby. He was raised in by an earthly father. We don't know when he passed away, but he passed away probably at a young age. You know, you think about it, he was oppressed by others. He was charged with being insane. He was charged with being a demon-possessed man. He was even opposed by his family at times. He was rejected and hated and oppressed by a huge audience. He was betrayed by a close friend. He was left alone and rejected and forsaken by his disciples. He was tried in the high court of superiority of this world, but it was a false court. And he died on the cross for us, beaten, nail scarred. But think about it. That was his race. And we can see that he despised the shame. He endured the cross. And now where is he at? He's received his reward. And I know he's God, and I know it was the perfect runner because he was not going to fail, and he was going to the cross. He was going to die. He was going to rise again. I understand we believe all that by faith, but he gives us this example. The writer of Hebrews, which I believe is Paul, some people would disagree, he's writing this out, and he's saying here, he says, look, I know you're facing tremendous hardship. You're facing tremendous persecution, tremendous trials at this moment in time. He says, but looking unto Jesus. Then he says in verse number 3, consider him. When you consider the race you're in, when you consider all the hardships that you're in, when you consider what your course looks like as it seems like it's insurmountable and maybe it looks completely uphill and you don't know what to do and you don't know how you're going to make it, he says, look unto Jesus. Consider him. Consider what he faced. He shows us and he teaches us you can win this race. you can continue on running. But you're not going to win the race by dropping out. Christians today, I know that in the day and time we live in, there is a lot of craziness going on, and I don't know how to fix it. I'm not even going to try to fix it. I think the people that try to fix it sometimes make a bigger mess than what it really is. But at the same time, I know what I'm supposed to do. I know the race that God's put me on. I see the course, and I see that next step in front of me. No, I might not see around the bend. I might not know what it's going to be like in a week. I might not know what I'm going to face next year. But if I'm going to live by faith, I'm going to head on down the road running the race. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to become a bystander. He says in verse number 1, let us run with patience the race that's set before us. So today I want you to consider the race that's set before you. I know it's 2020. I know that there's people doing things that seems crazy. I know we live in a state of fear, many people, because of the pandemic and because of the virus. And what are we supposed to do? Just take the next step in the race. Just keep on running. And tonight we're going to look at that, how to keep on running and how to run the race to get a prize or get a reward. And we're going to look at those different things. But I could not go past without considering all the craziness many of those Old Testament Bible characters faced. All the different things God, the race God put them on. And that's what the Hebrew writer is saying. Now, I know what you're going through. Now, let's run this race with patience. Let us run this race to please Him. But here's the example of the races that were run before you. Consider what Noah had to go through. Consider what Samson went through. Consider what David went through. Consider what Daniel went through. Consider what Japheth went through. Consider what Abraham, that course there, nobody would have signed up to run any of those courses. They did it by faith. And they all had a good report at the end because they did it through faith. Now, consider the perfect runner, the one who was willing to forsake all, willing to leave heaven, willing to die on the cross for our sins. That's who we stay focused on. Yes, we see the other races and they show us and they teach us what faith can do, but also what God can do with someone who has faith. Then you look at Christ, the perfect runner, who shows us the perfect example of how to live and how to face persecution and hardship and endure the cross and the contradiction of sinners. No one faced what he faced. No one's been through what he's gone through. And he still did it without sin. Praise the Lord. We can run that race. Not us, but Christ that liveth in us. Not by our strength, but by his Spirit. So today, make sure you run in the race. Maybe you've been sitting on the sideline for a little while. Get back in the race. Maybe you're not even in the race because you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Get into the race. Sitting on the sideline is something that's not going to help you in your race. Make sure that you're running the race that God's put before you. Don't try to figure out somebody else's race. Don't try to understand, oh, this person does this, and this person does that, and this person. Once again, sometimes we help others. But when you run the race that God's put before you, by faith, you can accomplish what he wants you to do. If it's not your race, guess what? You're not going to be accomplishing what he wants you to do. One of the worst things in the world is to be running and be running on the wrong track. Running for no reason. And that's what a lot of people do. They try to help somebody else. They spend their whole life running here to and fro, never making a difference in their life. If you run the race God's called you to do, you're going to make a difference for him. Obtaining a good report, it says, through faith. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for being faithful. Thank you for giving us the example that Jesus Christ gave us. And Lord, I pray that we keep our eyes focused on him. He's the author and finisher of faith. And when we consider him, the race that we're asked to run is not that bad. The race that we're asked to run is something that is we can accomplish through you. Lord, thank you for all those men, all those different examples that teach us something about them. Yes, they live by faith, but more importantly, about you. How you can take care of them and how you can keep them strong and how we can accomplish the things you want us to as we stay on our track of our race. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope today's message was a blessing and a help to you. I want to encourage you to be faithful and keep on watching. Remember, church tonight at 6 o'clock. We're going to try our best to live stream it through here. And everyone who feels comfortable, come on back out, and we'll have a good time of fellowship. Once again, we're praying for you. If you need something, let us know.